Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen, it's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer requests and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Susie Romack, and I will be your hostess for today. And welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers this morning? We're all family. The events are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way. This will help decrease the traffic during the greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend that has the app. Today is Thankful Thursday, and it's a day set aside to remind people just how thankful you are for them. Feel free to share your stories regarding this in the Victory Room. You're invited to join our separate men and women's calls on their new night, Men of Value Everywhere and Walk It Out, will both be held tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. There are no online prayer requests this morning that I could see. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Juliet. Declaration by our great Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two will be Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three will be E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today is Denise Nollis-Smith. And I'll repeat that. Scripture will be Juliet. The declaration will be given by Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two will be Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three will be E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Nollis-Smith. Please don't forget to mute your line by using your standard mute button, or you can use star six. Everyone have a wonderful, blessed, and God-filled day. As I pass the call to Juliet, God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. This is Juliet, and I will be reading from the Good News Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22 to 27. Obey faithfully everything that I have commanded you. Love the Lord your God. Do everything he commands, and be faithful to him. Then he will drive out all of those nations as you advance, and you will occupy the land belonging to nations greater and more powerful than you. All the ground that you march over will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert in the south of the Lebanon Mountains in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Wherever you go in that land, the Lord your God will make the people fear you, as he has promised, and no one will be able to stop you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I pass the call.
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing my sound check to make sure that you can hear me. I have these headphones that can be unpredictable, and I want to make sure that you're able to hear everything that I have to say today. I was able to talk to Kasha.
And you sound muffled. Reposition yourself.
Okay. 1 second, please.
Hey,
Hey, Dion, she's not going to be able to do the call after all. I'm going to go ahead and do it, if you don't mind. Good morning, everybody. I think this is the first time that I've spoken to you this year. I want to say Happy New Year to all of you, and I'm really excited about what God is doing. I'm calling this my Sweet 16. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. I'm expecting God to do some big and major things in my life. I'm going to talk to you about my neighbors, if you don't mind. Now, you know I live between Australia and the Bay Area. I'm going to talk about my American neighbors today. The first couple I want to talk about is Emeretta and Roy. They lived in their home for about 25 years. They didn't have any children, but had several pets over the course of the time they lived in their home. Roy had more of a green thumb than his wife, but she assisted him on many projects, regardless to whether it was weeding, planting, or redesigning. Their exterior property looked like something straight out of, I think the magazine is called Home and Garden, or House and Garden, something like that. I've seen it before. They had a beautiful fountain in the front of their house, surrounded by amazing plants, shrubbery, and they even had a bird bath. Their drive and walkways were redone with that special, it's like a really beautiful big stones, that was glazed to give it a light shine. The walkway was lit up with inconspicuous lights. The front door was even eye-catching. It almost seemed as if they had nothing else to do but devote time to the upkeep of their home, because everything about it appeared to be impeccable, at least from the outside. One could only imagine what the inside looked like. Myrna and her family moved into the neighborhood about 3 or 4 years ago. They were a middle-aged couple as well, with adult children and a granddaughter that lived with them. They had a boat that fit perfectly on the side of their house without taking away the property value. In fact, it seemed as if the space had been designed specifically for the boat itself. From all appearances, Elaine was the primary caretaker of the front yard. It wasn't as extravagant as Emma and Roy's, but it was neat and had a homey feel to it. Even, you know, she'd get some of those signs, like during the holidays, if it was Easter, she'd get an Easter bunny and it was a cloth sign she'd put out in the yard, whatever, it didn't matter. You know, when Christmas, she'd have decorations and so on and so forth. Anyone with an earshot of her daughter's young child, Courtney, knew when they were leaving the house. Courtney and that Courtney was with her, because she'd yell the child's full name, Courtney Alyssa, get in the car now. Courtney Alyssa, get out of the car now. Courtney, come back here. Courtney, don't run down the street. Courtney, Courtney, Courtney. It's like, my God, why don't you just go and get the child? At any rate, you know what I'm saying. Then there was Peter and Patsy. They were a single, it seemed like everybody in the neighborhood was single and middle-aged. But anyway, they were a single middle-aged couple. No children, but they had two miniature poodles. They had a very neat home. The front yard was less appealing than both Emma and Roy's and Amina's front yard, but it was always neat. Patsy walked the poodles regularly, washed her car in a bikini, I guess to get a tan, and Patsy was a professional makeup artist that worked in an upscale city about 20 miles from their home, and Peter was a general contractor. Contrary to what some people say about contractors that allow their homes to go unrepaired and unkept, Peter kept their home up, regardless to whether it was painting, siding, landscaping, etc. It didn't matter. It had been raining heavily for the past few weeks. But while doing my everyday task, you know, working here in my office, my window, my neighbor, Minna, lives across the street and one house over. While doing my regular work, every now and then I'd get up to stretch or what have you, and I'd look out the window just to take a break from my regular workings or what have you, or if I was leaving to go to the market or wherever, I'd open the garage door, and there she'd be sitting in the garage smoking a cigarette, smoking a ciggy. You guys call them cigarette. We call them ciggies in Australia. But she'd be there smoking a ciggy, and I noticed it seemed to be happening more frequently. Then I thought, well, maybe I'm just making things up. I don't know. But I noticed it seemed as if she was out there, I don't know, a couple of times a day at least. That was unusual because generally speaking, the garage was not open. I guess they don't allow smoking in the house, which is a good thing. It's a smoke-free zone, although the smoke can travel in the house. She'd open the garage door and sit close to the edge. And I'm telling you, it's been cold here lately, and it's been wet and raining. I don't know. She'd just be sitting there smoking, and I wondered what was going on. Something must be going on. So I said to a friend of mine the other day, you know, something must be going on with her. She's smoking like a choo-choo train here lately. So somebody says to me, maybe you ought to go and check in on her. And I thought, oh, my God, that would be so weird. I don't even know her name. Think about this. This is my neighbor that lives across the street from me, and I don't know her. I know her granddaughter's name, Courtney Alyssa. I don't know my neighbor's name. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to do that. A couple of days pass by, and I get a text from my friend saying, hey, have you checked in on your neighbor? And I said, no, I haven't, but it's one of the things that I have to do on my list. And I said, Lord God, I'm going to need you to give me what to say because you'll probably think I'm crazy going over there. What am I going to say? I've seen you smoking like a choo-choo train over the past few days. What in the world's going on? Well, I can't do that. Well, I just prayed a quick prayer, and I asked the Lord, Lord, give me what to say. That's what your word says. In that hour, I will give you what to say. So I need you to give me what to say when I approach her. I certainly can't go up to a front door and just ring the bell. I'm going to have to wait until she's outside smoking a ciggy. But then that means that I'm going to have to inhale. And I hate cigarette smoke. It gives me a headache. At any rate, I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to give some help to my neighbor. Sure as God would have it, the next day the garage is open. Now I got a car full of groceries. Just come from the super, but I got to go and talk to this woman because I made a commitment that I would do that. And she might be done with that ciggy any minute. She'll close the garage door, and I'll miss my timing. I left those groceries in the car, and I pray as I walk across the street, and I walk up, and I say, hi, my name is Coppershire. I'm your new neighbor from across the street. And I extend my hand to shake it. She immediately takes her cigarette hand down, puts it behind her as if to block the smoke from coming my way, and I really appreciate it because what she was really saying is, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the fact that you may not smoke, and I don't want my smoke just, you know, permeating in your face. She remained in a chair, extended her hand, and we shook hands, and we both smiled, and I said, well, you know, my name is Coppershire, and I saw you here sitting in the garage. I thought I'd come over and say hello. What's your name, by the way? And she told me her name was Minna. I said, oh, it's so nice to meet you, Minna. I just wanted to say hello, and, you know, I just wanted to offer myself as a friend to you and, you know, just let you know that, you know, I've noticed you out here. And I forget all of the words that I say, but I mentioned something about, no, I know what it was. She said to me, thank you so much for coming over. Can you believe that? Thank you so much for coming over. I have fibromyalgia. And it makes me so good. You've made my day. My heart melted, you all. My heart literally melted. I don't know, you know what fibromyalgia is, but I don't know completely. I do know that the individuals that suffer from fibromyalgia have pain in their bodies regularly. And she just said that I made her day. And I said, you know, I'm so sorry. If you don't mind, I'd like to pray for you. Would that be okay if I, you know, pray for you regularly? She said, oh, my God, yes, that prayer is the key to everything. Are you kidding me? This lady knows a little bit about prayer. I said, okay, well, I absolutely will. I didn't feel comfortable or I didn't even think to pray right then and there. I was so shocked that she welcomed prayer. At any rate, we engaged in conversation a little bit more, and I left there feeling like, first of all, God, I thank you that I was obedient to your will. Secondly, I thank you that I had the eyes to see my neighbor. I had the eyes to see, even though I don't know her personally, something changed in her life that she was smoking regularly, and it let me know something must be going on. Now, she might have been smoking regularly anyway, perhaps smoking in a backyard, because the way that their houses, the houses on the opposite side of the street, have amazing views. They don't have backyards, but they all have decks. Decks that were built with a house that, and some of them, I'm sure, are probably Peter and Patsy's deck is probably something out of sight because, again, he's a general contractor. It's always fixing and repairing on their house, right? And then there is, I haven't been in their houses. I don't know what their decks look like, but perhaps that's where men are smoked. Regularly in a backyard, but with the rain and all, she's not been able to do so. So she's had to come out to the front. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Or maybe she just started smoking all over again because of the fibromyalgia. Who knows? I don't know. The thing about it is that I was obedient and I showed myself as a neighbor. I became a neighbor. Now, ironically for me, I know many of the neighbors that live right around the vicinity of my house. I know the neighbor to the immediate right. I know the neighbor to the immediate left who has left her home. It's not completely abandoned, but they don't live there anymore. They're an Asian family. They've moved someplace else, but they've not. This is what's weird to me. They've not sold their home. They pay for a landscaper to come out and make sure that there's no shrubbery and weeds or what have you. They pay for garbage service. They pay for utilities because, ironically, Amaretta takes their garbage cans, uses their garbage cans, their recycle bin, and their landscaping or their, you guys recycle everything here in the United States. It's a big green can. You put your weeds, compost, that's what it is, compost can. She takes care of that. And she also, I believe she's the one that has hired the landscaper to make sure, yes, that's right, because I've seen her over in the yard doing little things or what have you, and I've heard her talking to a landscaper, telling him what she wanted him to do or what have you, and making sure the weeds were taken out. What does this have to do with morning prayer and a declaration? Just give me a few more minutes, and I'm gonna bring it home. But at any rate, then the neighbors that live to my left, the immediate left of the Asian family that does not live in their home, but that have been paying for it all this time, those are my neighbors, Emerita and Roy. Now, I also know the neighbors across the street from me, which happen to be Mena and Peter and Patsy. Now, I know who they are. Don't know a whole lot about them, but I know at least their names and have at least had one or two conversations with them. Do you know your neighbors? Who is your neighbor? If we look at my favorite book, our neighbors are the people that we meet. Whether we meet them one time or whether we meet them at church or whether we meet them in the super whether we meet them at a restaurant. They become our neighbors. Do you know your neighbors that live in your vicinity, though? Let's talk about that neighbor. Do you know if they're going through, maybe their house, maybe their front yard is a complete mess. Maybe they have cards in their front yard or extra containers, I don't know. Just weeds, they don't keep the yard up. Or maybe they keep their yard immaculate like Amaretta and Roy. Kind of gives you an idea that they probably keep their house up like that as well. Is your neighbor like Amaretta and Roy? Roy has not been able to come out lately. He has a terminal illness, according to Emma. So she's been doing the yard here lately. I heard the ambulance the other night, in the middle of the night. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was about 11:30 or so. Looked out the window, and I saw the ambulance was at her house. Didn't know what was going on. I go over to my roommate, and I say, hey, the ambulance is over there at Mammoth. Amos, do you think we ought to go over? No, the ambulance is there. There, he said, let's just leave it alone. Something in my spirit, though, said you should go and check on them because they're an older couple. They're not middle-aged. And I knew that Roy had been terminally ill. I prayed that God didn't take his life that night, that he'd spared him a little while longer, but I did pray. In fact, the neighbor that I am, and I'm not the best neighbor now, don't get it wrong, the neighbor that I am, whenever I hear an ambulance or sirens on my street, I immediately begin to pray because we never know where people are. There could be a crisis. There could be a fire. And maybe they don't know the Lord. Maybe they don't know to call on him. But I do, and I will call on the Lord, and I'll ask him to spare lives and to keep them and to protect them and to send the help that they need when they need it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not just standing by doing nothing. Well, with that said, I want to encourage you with these last quotations that I found this morning. I looked, and as I get ready to close, and I believe Patty will be doing the prayer this morning. She'll be praying for it. When I looked at the Common English Bible, which is what I like to use, I noticed that there were over 180 instances of the word neighbor mentioned both in the Old and New Testament, and I'd like to share a few of them before we, in the Declaration. We can pick it up at Love, Life, and Victory. Don't plan to harm your neighbor who trusts and lives near you. Proverbs 3:29. That would be defined, my definition of that neighbor would be someone that is a deceiver. Whoever despises their neighbor lacks sense, S-E-N-S-E. A sensible person keeps quiet, Proverbs 11:12. I define that neighbor as a big dummy. Don't spend too much time in your neighbor's house, otherwise they'll get fed up with you and hate you. Proverbs 25:17. We don't want neighbors hating on us. I'd say that scripture would say we need to have balance, even with our neighbors. Greeting a neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning will be viewed as a curse. Proverbs 27:14. There's this thing that we have in my neighborhood, at least in my city here where I live in the United States. It's called a noise ordinance. Making too much noise is against city ordinance. So praying too loud, playing your gospel music too loud might be a little bit too much. It may not be the way to let your light shine, especially if the word says your neighbor might view it as a curse, your loud noise, your loud voice. So let's practice balance there and have common courtesy. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 19:19. Loving your neighbor dates back to the Old Testament. It's not something that's new. And finally, and the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew 22:39. How do you love someone you don't know? I'm going to advise you to know your surroundings. You can get to know them. Proverbs 18:24 says, A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, two things that come out of this scripture. If you want to have friends, you got to take on the responsibility of showing yourself friendly like I did with Amina. And I went over there, I extended my hand, and I asked if I could pray for her because that's what I was led to do. And she received it. I've made a new friend. We're not friends yet, but we're on the way of developing a relationship. And secondly, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For those of you that are on the line that might feel like you don't have any friends, don't feel like you have anybody. You have somebody. That somebody is our Father. Not only is He our Father, He's our God, He's our friend. So don't you ever dare say again that you don't have any friends. But you have a friend that will stick so close to you. He'll protect you, he'll love you, he'll support you. He'll tell you the truth. He'll be your truth teller. And He will set you up with people that you can consider your friends. With that said, my name is Carpish, and I'm passing the call off to Patty. God bless you.
Good morning, Father. We come to you this morning, Lord, and in your word, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says for us to cast all of our cares upon you, Lord God. And we just come to you this morning, Lord, with a humble heart, Father, and really thinking about our neighbors, Lord, and just the declaration that Tanya gave to us, Lord, and being mindful, Father God, of our neighbors and learning to befriend them and find out what's going on with them and maybe even sharing something that's going on with yourself, Father. But I thank you for the declaration. I also would like to stop and thank you, JC, for greeting us this morning, Lord, and I think it was Susie that did the, I'm sorry, my mind is boggled, but I just thank you for those that have gone before me and those are going to come after me right now, Lord. I pray that you would just pour back into each of us, Lord, that have poured out this morning. Father, I'd like to thank you, Father God, for another day for each one of us, Lord, and that we're able to get up and we get to live again today. We get to really try to do things right today, Lord, and I thank you for that opportunity, Father, and I'm so thankful, Father, that we can come to you at any time, Lord, and just come to you whenever we want. We don't have to hide our relationship with you. We don't have to hide reading your word or praying, Lord God, that we are able to come to you whenever we like, Lord, and that's an honor, and I'm thankful for that, Father God. Father, I would like to lift up Sister Julia to you, Lord, who is in the hospital, Lord, and I don't know what the problem is, and I'm not sure that any of us do, Father, but we lift her up to you, Lord, and we ask that you would just touch her body right now and you would heal her body, Father, and whatever's going on, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for her consistency and of forever praying for her and her family, Lord, and she always lifts up Declare Victory, Lord, so we stand together lifting her up this morning, Father, and just giving her that extra energy that she needs, Lord, but also that she would remember that her Declare Victory family love her, and we are praying for her, Father God. Father, I'd just like to lift up Susie, and I ask that whatever it was that she was saying, I heard someone say, I think it was JC saying that we would lift her up. So we just lift her up to you this morning, Father, and we ask that you give her whatever her needs are that she needs today, Father, that you would bless her with those, Father. We'd like to lift up the Alam's family, Father, who had a fire in their house yesterday, Father God. We thank you first that they were able to get out and no one was hurt, Lord God. But we now pray for the after effects, Lord. So anything that's needed, Lord, we pray that you would bless that family with it, Lord. And again, thank you for keeping them all safe during the fire that was there, Lord God. We just pray for their mindset, Lord, because that's a traumatic thing. Even if it was just a small fire, Lord, it's traumatic. But I pray that you would touch them right now, Father, and that you would be with them, Lord God. And we like to lift up Gwen to you, Lord, and she's asking us to lift her up in God's grace, his mercy, and his love this morning, Father, that you would touch her, Lord, and for whatever is going on, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that she stood and asked us to remember just to pray for her, Lord. And so we lift her up to you, Lord, high. Father, I'd like to pray, continue prayer for my own family right now, Lord, during this grieving and mourning time period, Father. And Father, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace right now, Lord, that is sufficient for me, Father, because, I mean, I'm really tired. But other than that, I have been actually pretty good, feeling pretty good, Lord. And I just ask for my some strength for you, though, Lord, because my body does feel extremely kind of broke down. So I just pray for that, Father God. And I also like to lift up Gail today, Lord, and whatever the things are that she's requesting and needed today, Lord, I pray that you would lift her today to her, Father, and that you would give her that extra strength also today, Lord God, and that you would just be with her, Father. And I'd like to pray for each one of our neighborhoods, Lord, our communities and our neighbors, Father, that you would touch it, Lord, that you would be in the midst of all of it, Lord. And I ask that you would be with each one of our neighbors, Father, and maybe we could make it our business to, if we don't know them or if we're not praying for them, Lord God, to begin to at least start praying for our neighbors and trying to get to know them or being friendly or befriending them, Father. We pray for a relationship or beginning a relationship, Father. And I pray for my neighbors, Father, the few that I do know here still. I lift them up to you, Lord, and even those that I don't know, but that I would make it my business to also befriend them too, Father God. And I'd like to pray for all the families who had loved ones that were involved in the bus, the Greyhound bus crash that happened right here in San Jose. I believe it was yesterday, Father. I lift up those families to you who had loved ones that were hurt, but I also lift up the families, the two families who lost their loved ones in that crash, Father God. I don't know all the details, barely any, but I just, you know them all, and I just would like to lift them up to you right now, Lord, and I ask that you would just give them the, just the closeness of you, Lord, the support from you, Lord, that they need right now at this time, Father God. And Father, I just like to thank you for each one of us that are on this line, Lord, and for those who didn't ask for prayer, Lord, but really wanted prayer, I pray that you would touch their request this morning, Lord, and I lift them to you myself, even though we don't know what they are. The unknown, unspoken, can always be touched because you know each one of our hearts and what our requests are, Father. Father, I just ask you to be with our day today, Lord, and we thank you today for Thankful Thursdays, Father. And excuse me. We ask that you would bless each one of us that are going in the directions that we need to go. Father, that you would just bring safety upon all of us, Lord, and our children as they go to school and leave their homes and leave from underneath us. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. And I pray for all of our grandchildren, Father God. And as I ready to turn the call over to you, Lord, I just say to you that we love you, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Father, for your love, your mercies, and your guidance, Father. In Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call on.
Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father God, for this, everyone that went before me, and bless the ones that's going and to pour back into them. Father, we are all gathered here together on one mind, and that's to give you praise and to say thank you and how much we dearly, dearly love you. We thank you that we each humble ourselves before you this day so that you may be lifted up in due time. And we thank you for giving us the right us to today. Lead us by your truth and teach us all, Father. We thank you for creating in us a pure heart with a renewed, steadfast spirit within us. Do not take your Holy Spirit away, and thank you for restoring to us the joy of your salvation, and give us a willing spirit to sustain us. We also thank you for instead of optioning, we receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, we receive grace and your inheritance. You, Lord, do immeasurably, limitless, more than we ask or imagine. Lord, you are our high priest, and we thank you for all you have done for us on the cross. We thank you how you have taken our ashes and replaced it with beauty. We can't express enough how humbly thankful we are to you for loving us so much. Lord, your grace is the ability by faith to believe right. Then we labor to hear your rest. Then you give us your peace. To not let our hearts be troubled, and not to be afraid or fearful, because you conquer all. We just need to believe and receive. And we thank you, Father, for giving us. And we are no longer blind, but we see. Father, we lift before you this day marriages, that they will commit themselves to live in peace, quietness, and respect towards one another, acting on the same mind and united in spirits unto you, Father. We are gentle, compassionate, and courteous, tender, and humble-minded towards each other. And they both look to you every day as help to honor. And we also say that the marriages have a prayer life together, as also a separate prayer life unto you, Lord. We thank you for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge will bring in the marriage every day. And we bring before you the singles. We thank you that we put you first in all, and that we seek first your kingdom, then all other things will be added to us. Thank you as we reach spiritual maturity that our mates is spiritual maturity. And we pray that your will be done in our lives as our mates' lives also. For we are anxious for nothing, and we bring our prayers, requests unto you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will protect our hearts and minds in you. Thank you as we delight and seek your kingdom. You are working for us to give us the desires of our heart. Father, we also pray for your blessings on our family. For the righteousness of you dwell in us, and we will be at peace in our family. And because righteousness dwells in us, we will use wisdom and quietness, trust, and confidence in you, Father. Our families are protected by you, and all of our needs are met this day. We do not fear, but walk, talk, and think, and act in faith of your word. Thank you for being our shield and buckler in this time of trouble. And we bring before you our neighbors and our co-workers. We ask that we will be a light from you to their lives, that they will see you in all. We pray that they all will be your child serving you. And we thank you for meeting their needs this day, and that each one will have a personal revelation experience of needing you in their life. And we ask you to help us to serve you by serving others. And we pray for our enemies. Help us to pass their words which try to hurt us. Help us to see they are operating in fear. Fear, anger generates hate generates suffering. Their hearts to you. And we ask for prayers that they can look at the man inside themselves and see their evil ways, and turn and truly repent to you, Father. So let us have love and compassion for our enemies and lift them up in prayer before you. So in closing, we ask and thank you that your word is going out to work, and we seal all these precious prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen, as I pass the call.
God, we thank you for another morning and another day's journey. We thank you for waking us up, oh God, starting us on our way, oh God. God, we ask now that you would continue to bless us and forgive us and create in us a clean heart and renew us the right spirit, oh God. God, continue to refresh and renew us daily, Lord God. We thank you for being a very present help in the time of trouble, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for being our sufficiency in everything that we need, oh God. God, we bless you now. God, we ask now that you would honor every prayer request, the Alums family and their situation, oh God, and the different needs that have been brought before you, our different petitions, Lord God, and God, even the spoken and the unspoken requests, Lord God, because we all have situations, Lord God. Some have been brought forward, and then some are just on our hearts and in our minds, oh God. But thank you, God, that you are omnipresent and omniscient, Lord God. You're everywhere at the same time, that you can hear even our faintest cry. You can hear everything and then still come and see about us in different places, Lord God. And that's why we love you, God. We praise you and we thank you, God. God, we come praying now for our city leaders, oh God. We thank you for the governance, Lord God. We thank you for the president, Lord God. We thank you for every judge, every city official, every councilman, Lord God, every person that governs us, Lord God. We thank you for the people that that are in those positions, Lord God, that are people of faith, Lord God. And we thank you that and ask now that more people of faith would come forward, Lord God, and be governed by their faith, Lord God. We thank you for putting these people in those positions, Lord God, and bless them now. I have a dear friend named Shaman Walton in San Francisco on the school board. Bless him indeed, Lord God, as he aspires to go higher. And thank you for elevating black faces and brown faces and all faces in high places, oh God. We thank you now, Lord. We ask now that you would continue to bless and keep us, even with our school boards and our schools, our teachers, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, our teachers' aides, our teachers' assistants, everyone that works at schools and school districts, crossing guards, cafeteria workers, Lord God, everybody, janitors, custodians, Lord God, we thank you so much, yard duty personnel, Lord God, and then bless those that work with the mentally handicapped, oh God, which is a special calling indeed, Lord God, and bless them as they look over our babies, our special ones, Lord God, and our special needs children, Lord God, and our autistic kids and so on and so forth, Lord. Bless them indeed, Lord God. Continue to give them the patience and cover them, cover the children. Dispatch angels to be with them and be by their side, Lord God. Bless our children that are away in the armed services and that are in the Army, Mari, and different ones that have gone to the Army, Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force, Lord God. And bless them indeed, Lord God, as they've made a serious career move. But keep them, Lord God, as they're away from our homes and us, Lord God, and bless them. And then bless our children that are away in college, oh God, and protect them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we trained them up the way that they should go and the way they know the word, Lord God, and the word would keep them and the word was saturated in them, Lord God, and then we saturate them with the word and prayers, Lord God, to cover them as they are away from their families, Lord God. And even if they're local, they're still away from their families, Lord God. And as they come into adulthood, Lord God, guide them and direct them, be their shield, their buckler, their everything, Lord God, and continue to strap them with the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, Lord God. And they would remember to put on their entire armor, the whole armor of God, Lord God, so they can be protected, Lord God. And we thank you now, Lord. God, we ask now that you would continue to bless and keep us, Lord God, as we try to grow in you and the things of you, Lord God. Bless the this and the that. Bless the different various calls. Bless the marriage calls, all the calls that are going out in your name, Lord God, and not just the declaring victories, but other calls across this country, Lord God, because we all come together to pray and to glorify you, God. And we ask now that you would continue to keep us, bless us as we travel this morning, as we're going to work and getting dressed and doing our thing, oh God. We ask now that you would bless and keep us in Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen, as I pass the call.
Oh, God, so now we bless your name and say thank you for this day. God, we give you all the glory and all of the honor, for surely, God, you're great and greatly to be praised. I thank you for this morning's declaration, God, that shared with us how to be a friend and how to show ourselves friendly, how to behave as neighbors and friends and loved ones. Oh, God, I thank you this morning for Kaprisha and her gifted, anointed life. God, I thank you that you've given us a mind this morning to unify and to give you all the glory, God, to give you all the praise, to speak well of things, God, to speak life to dead places, God, to speak water over things that have dried up in the earth. God, I thank you this morning, God, that you're restoring relationships, God, friendships, integrity, character, not only to the church, Lord God, but that we are beginning to walk in our authority. God, I thank you for every warrior this morning that has come before you, God, just petitioning you, God, to teach us your way. God, reinvent our hearts, God. Reinvent our minds. Reinvent our thought processes with regard to how we live, God, and to how we love and honor our neighbor, how we show kindness, Father God. God, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. God, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you this morning for your will and for your way for our lives. We thank you that each and every one of us, God, has a purpose. God, we thank you that we not only walk in authority, God, but that you've given us power and dominion over the earth. God, we pray right now for families. We pray right now for our friends and loved ones who don't know you in the power of your might. God, we pray right now for those that are single and pressing their way and retaining and remaining faithful to your will and to your way for their lives, Lord God. I pray for each and every one of the children represented on this call, Lord God. We pray for generations this morning. We pray it forward in the name of Jesus, God, that every single one of our children will be greater than us. They'll be wiser than us, God. They'll be more obedient than we were even. God, and I thank you in advance that not only are you doing it, God, but you're doing it quickly. God, I thank you that you've given us a heart and a mind to live for you. God, to live intentionally, to live purposefully in the name of Jesus. God, that each and every one of us, no matter what our prospective locations, God, will make an impact on our immediate city. God, we pray for every city represented on this call. We pray for every nation represented, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for James Kawambunga in Uganda. God, that you would bless him and all of the orphans that he has in his care. God, bless him and bless him indeed. I pray for his wife, Joy, now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for his son, Joshua, in the name of Jesus. God, that he'd be greater even than his father. God, I pray for those who have fallen under the spell of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, God, that they try to figure things out with their knowledge, with their wisdom, Lord God. I thank you that we can trust in you, God, that everything that you've done is evidence of your greatness, that everything you've done, God, is concrete, solid confirmation that you are a very present help, God, in the time of trouble, that you are a sovereign God, that you are our strong tower, God, that you are our lion of the tribe of Judah. I thank you, Lord God, that our evidence, God, that our experience can never be negotiated, God. I thank you that we don't have to explain away or dispel the rumors and lies that the enemy is attempting to fog minds with on today. God, this morning, I lift up my own child. God, I thank you, Lord God, that he will not be hoodwinked by the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, I speak clarity. I speak truth and life to him, oh God. God, that you would lead and direct him in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for all of our sons. I pray for all of our daughters, God, that they'll know you, God, by the power of your might in the name of Jesus. God, and this morning, as we begin to celebrate you, God, we come against every lie of the enemy, God, that our neighbor is our enemy. God, we don't care about them being blue or green, purple or turquoise, God. You told us, God, you commanded us to love our neighbor, God, as ourselves. God, we thank you this morning that
they'll know us by our love, God. God, give us a loving heart, God. Give us a praying spirit in the name of Jesus. God, make us know that you are our strength, God. God, that no weapon formed against us on today, tomorrow, or the day after that will prosper, oh God. I thank you this morning that our mind is being renewed. God, I thank you this morning that our heart is being fixed and regulated. God, I thank you this morning that we can lean and depend on you, God. God, that you meet every need, God. You said that we can speak the mountains and they'll be removed unto the sea, God. God, help us to believe that which you call trust in, God. God, your word declares that blessed is the man that has not seen and yet believes. God, I thank you that I don't have to see you, God. I thank you that I didn't live 2,000 years ago, God, but I thank you that my forefathers paved the way, God, not only for me to believe, God, but because of the evidence of what I've experienced, God. You always come through on time. God, you always meet every need, God. I thank you this morning that the word declares that all things work together for our good this morning. God, I thank you that because all things work together for our good, God, the plans that you have for our lives from the foundation of the earth cannot be foiled. God, I thank you that your word declares it'll never go out and come back void. God, we trust you this morning. Oh, God, we trust you this morning. God, it may not look like what your word declares. God, but I thank you that faith, Lord God, don't make sense. God, I bless you that because of what I've experienced in your truth, God, in your way, God, it don't have to add up, God. It doesn't have to make sense. I thank you that nobody can tell me any difference. Thank you, God, that I'm concerned about the government of the faith. God, I thank you this morning that we don't have to make mistakes, God.
For your grace, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
We trust you.
For your power, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That is your spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah.
And the enemy comes in like a priest to lift up a standard against him. God, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for divine intervention on every hand, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are protecting us. God, even when we don't recognize danger, God, I thank you, Lord God, that you remove the blinders from our eyes. God, unplug our ears, God. Circumcise our hearts in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and give us a clean heart, God, and a right spirit with you, God. I thank you this morning that the enemy cannot win, God. I read the end of the book, and it says we always triumph.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We always stand in victory. God, sometimes victory looks like and feels like defeat.
My God, my God.
For your word, God, that declares that we win, God. I thank you that if we keep going, that if we keep trusting, God, that if we keep standing, God, if we keep obeying, God, if we keep loving, God, we win. God, I thank you that we win. God, I thank you that we win. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, bless your name,
God.
Jesus,
God, I thank you that we win if we keep going. God, we win if we don't quit trusting.
Yes, Lord.
We
win
if we don't keep quit honoring. We win, God.
For your mercy and your grace, Lord God.
Thank you. We win, God. If we don't quit speaking love, God, we win, God. If we don't keep loving our neighbor as ourselves,
Lord God, not by your might, Lord God. But it is by your spirit,
Jesus.
Lord God. For that, Lord God, we say
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
We
yes,
win
Lord.
If we
Lord
don't
God, we thank you, Lord God, for understanding,
will,
Lord God. Hallelujah.
All things, God.
Spiritual
we win.
Understanding, Lord God.
Oh, we win, God. I thank you this morning that we win if we don't quit. God, your word declares that the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, God, but to the one that endureth until the end. God, I thank you.
Yes,
I thank you. I thank you that we don't have a mind to quit, that we actually have a mind to run on this morning. God, and no matter what the enemy attempts to throw at us, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God, you did it before. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, God, that you'll do it again. So, God, we bless you. We honor you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise because surely you deserve our praise. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we declare and decree it done. In Jesus' name, amen. As I pass the call.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, as we prepare to go into Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call, are there any first-time callers that might have joined the call that would like to say good morning and announce yourself?
Good morning.
Are there any victors that joined the call a little late that would like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning,
this is
Phoebe.
Good morning, Denise.
I just want to let you guys know that I'm absolutely thankful for being able to wake up every morning and get on the call and hear all of your wonderful voices.
Well, thank you, Tanisha. We all feel the same way about you.
Good morning,
Dee Dee.
Morning.
Anyone else would like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Oh, I couldn't hear your name.
I said good morning. This is Adrian.
Good morning, Adrian. Is this your first time calling?
No, it is not.
Hi, Adrian. I love you. Good morning.
Hi, love you too.
Good morning, Adrian.
Love you all.
Good morning, Mrs.
Love you back.
I wanted to
morning,
touch
Rhonda.
On the...
Good morning, brother.
Good morning, now.
Is there anyone else who would like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Nisha.
Good morning, Miss Nija.
Good morning,
Hi,
Nija.
Nija, baby.
And good morning, Miss Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Hey.
Good morning, Miss Davion.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Huh?
We
morning,
sure like to hear.
Good morning,
Josiah.
Good morning.
So glad to hear you, little ones, this morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Solomon.
Good morning,
Hi, Solomon.
Solomon.
Hey, Solomon, sweetie.
That's my chocolate baby.
Yes, cute little thing, you.
Where Kwame at?
I didn't hear Kwame.
He probably with his dad.
And
Susie, just FYI, Adrian was trying to share something.
Yes,
so I
knew I couldn't hear him.
Okay.
Adrian, would you like to go ahead and speak?
Can you hear me now?
Pardon?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I was, I'm sorry, I kind of was out of my area, but when you were talking about the loving your neighbors and being in prayer, when you see an ambulance or in the neighborhood, I would suggest that we be in prayer anytime we see an ambulance or hear a siren. Because it's at that point where people need prayer, and everyone doesn't know about prayer. Everybody doesn't know how to pray. So those of us that are built up in Word and know God, we should be in prayer immediately. When I drive on the freeway and I see accidents, or even if I don't see the accident, but I know there's something blocking it, I go into prayer. Because it is important. Our neighbors need us. And we are the doors that God has left here so they can come to know him. And so as they come, as we pray for them, we open that place for them to be able to be at peace inside themselves. So prayer is definitely a need.
Yes, I so agree. Very good, good stuff. Well, at this
good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Susan. This is
hey, Sister Julia.
Sister Julia, how
hey,
are you, honey?
Hey.
I'm doing a little better. I'm getting ready to go in to have some old, they want to do some ultrasounds and everything on me. But I was listening to the call, and I've heard that someone's house got out on fire. I have some stuff, some clothes and stuff, and blankets and some comfort sets and silverware. I would love to give to that person because, you know, I love to help someone. So if you know who the person is, you could have them call me, and we could touch, you know, on the phone. But right now I know I'm weak and sick, but I will try to do my best to help them. God bless them.
You're so sweet.
Sister Julia, you are so awesome. Awesome woman of God.
Okay, you, thank you, somebody else.
We will be praying for you. We'll be praying for you, Sister Julia. We all love you. And you're a wonderful daughter of God.
Amen.
We love you.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
hallelujah.
9:30, I will be on the machines and everything. So
okay.
I know God got my back.
Yeah, you got that right. He sure does. And we're and
you
said 9:30, so we're going to be praying for you. 9:30 it is. So you try to keep in touch with us, okay?
All right.
We love you. We love you.
I love you.
Okay.
I praise the Lord tonight.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Cornell. Just checking in. Keep me in prayer. God bless.
Okay, we will. Well, with that said, I'll go ahead and turn the call over to Tavisha. Everyone, I hope I said your name right. Everyone have a wonderful and great and blessed day. And let's all keep Sister Julia lifted up. God bless you all. I love you all. As I pass
thank
the call.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, I have my headphones on again, so I hope you can hear me because it's just kind of hard to talk with the phone or whatever. Let me know if it gets too bad. I will.
We can hear you.
I'll
just talk up a little bit.
Okay. I'm already yelling. Yeah, I might have to take them off. So just to set the order for the love, life, and victory and just kind of the trend, generally what we do is that we will open the call up in the morning when people first start to call in and we're greeting. Because there might be some new people that are on the line that didn't announce themselves, and I don't want them to think that we don't know what we're doing. There is order in what appears to be chaos, so I just want to take a little time. Please go ahead and put your phone on mute, and keep your phone on mute, please, unless you are going to speak, so we don't have to mute you on this end so that we protect the continuity of the call. Thank you very much. But in the morning, we have a greeter who will greet people as they come online, and we're saying good morning to one another. We encourage people, if they have a prayer request, to use the app. We have an app. It's the Declare Victory app. If you were invited by someone, they can show you where that is or how to download it. You can make a request in the morning, but we try to stray away from that because it takes time away that, you know, we end up losing some time by hearing the different prayer requests. And you can also submit them in the Victory Room. The person that invited you to the call can add you to the Victory Room because it is a private group, and you can also submit prayers in the Victory Room. And then after we do our greeting, we'll have someone that will come in and set the tone for the call, that will announce who will be praying, who will be reading the scripture, who will be giving the declaration, so on and so forth. We absolutely want to open the call up first to our guests, people that are first-time callers, to give them an opportunity to state their name so that we can formally welcome them. And when the call after the declaration and prayer are over, we go into a segment that we call Love, Life, and Victory, where we actually discuss the declaration that was given that morning. You're allowed to ask questions. It's a really engaging time. But I just want to remind us, during the greeting, we're going to greet only. And then if you have something to share, then you can share that during the Love, Life, and Victory, because it may take the call in a different direction. So hopefully that's clear. The Bible says, and all by getting, get a what? An understanding, because we want everything to be done decently and in order, and we want you to get the full effect. And also remember, if one person is talking, sometimes we get a little excited. Because we're on a call, if you start to talk while someone else is talking, it may create a little bit of confusion, and it starts to sound like noise. So if we could exercise self-restraint and wait until the person that's speaking has completed their sentence and then go ahead and jump in. Sometimes it's like playing double dutch, you know, we're trying to jump in, especially if a conversation is really hot and we're really excited about it. But it works out. So that we've been doing that now for the last 3 years, and I'm really excited about that. Kaprisha is not going to be able to join us. We played tag team this morning. I was having technical difficulty on my end with my audio equipment over here, so she was ready to jump right on in. But I'm very familiar with the topic because we actually engaged in it. We engaged in the topic, so I'm very familiar, and I will be able to pick up. So how about those neighbors? Not the Raiders. How about those neighbors? You know how you have... Yes.
Before you move forward, let me do two things. The first one is I also want to remind our new great and awesome men on the call that I'm so glad to hear you all's voice. I didn't hear Eddie this morning. Eddie, if you're on the line, good morning to you. Wanted to remind you of the men's call this evening. It's every Thursday, and there's a different access code. We'll have a banner made so that you all are able to join in fellowship and start to build those viable relationships that give you someplace to go as well. So it's not just us ladies. We just wanted you to know that you are valuable, that we love you to life, and we are wishing you the best. And in light of the conversation that we're having about friends, I wanted to give all of the victors a heads up really quick. As God is moving us, knowing that the ask this and that is a huge part of Declare Victory. It is a Declare Victory production, and God is opening some doors for us, which means he's opening some doors for you all. And you guys will begin to see some photos online of food with friends. I don't want anyone to be offended. It was super duper last minute. But more is to come. I want you to get excited about new friendships, new relationships, and different opportunities for you all to be able to walk in and on purpose. So I just wanted to give you a precursor, and then I'll pass the call back to Miss Tanya Natanya Alexander, otherwise known as this.
Hey, Beth, thank you so much for giving that the update that you did and sharing. For a minute there, I was wondering if I was going to have to jump in my car and run over to your house because it sounded like you were on life support. I know that it's that amazing phone that you have, but we are praying. We're going to do something. We're going to put our prayers to action and help a people out. Amen. Don't talk about my
phone.
I'm talking about my president, honey. But at any rate, I'm really excited about hearing the men, Adrian and Art, and I'm just excited. The men are growing, adding to, and so we're looking for you all to spread the word too, because we do have I don't know if you guys how long you've been on, but we do have a men's call on Friday. So tomorrow, our amazing storyteller, Minister Marcus Dyson, will be sharing. It's Men's Day tomorrow. And this is not just a women's forum, like Dion was saying. It absolutely is co-ed, and we're really excited. We have some amazing brothers. Brother Jeff, hey, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's it. That, when you hear that, that's him. Brother Eric is an amazing storyteller, an amazing man of God, and we have Brother Andrew and Brother Cornell Doss from San Francisco, E.K. Dawson. Now I'm starting to name names, and I might get in trouble. Bird, who's usually driving this time in the morning, but he's on the call. His silent presence is felt, as well as Pastor LaBelle Jones, who gives it gives the word in authority and power on Sunday mornings. And there are other men, but I better stop because the focus is not the men today. But definitely wanted to give that little recap because we never know, you know, just every now and then it's good to do that. So let's get to the call, to the declaration, and discuss a little bit. You know, how would you define your neighbor? This is just a general question. How would you define the word, not your neighbor, but how would you define the word neighbor? Anybody want to jump in? Okay, too broad of a question. So let's go back to some of the, a little bit of the story. So there were three neighbors that were featured, or three homes that were featured in this story. The older couple, Amaretta, we'll just call her Emma, and Roy, who were veterans at being neighbors. They obviously had a little change that they could keep their house up. And the yard was impeccable. Now, there's some other things about Emma that I didn't share. She seems to know. She is the probably one of the you know how the signs in neighborhoods say that this neighbor this is a oh my God, I can't think of the name, but you know they're not good Samaritans, but they're the gatekeepers of the neighborhood. If a car is out of place, they're calling in on it. If your yard is not together, they're gonna come knock on your door and ask you what's going on with your yard. I would say busybodies, but I think that's too strong of a term. Anybody have a neighbor like I described with Emma and Roy? They keep their house together. They may not be older, but you know, maybe they're middle age or whatever. They're always in their yard. Their house just looks absolutely impeccable. Literally looks like something out of a magazine. Am I on mute? Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay.
No, you're not on mute.
I know I'm not on mute. Yes, ma'am, but what I'm not going to do is talk to myself. Yes, sir. Who is that? Who said Tammy?
This is Ruth. Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Hey, I have the best neighbor, I say, in the world. And I always tell her, I say, you know what? The world would be a better place if people had neighbors like you. She'd be all up in my business, and I don't mind it. She saw some things that was going on one night, like late night in the morning, you know, one of them nights. Well, I tell you, she said she came over the next morning, and she said she went in immediate prayer. Mm-hmm. And she came over. She said, instead of, she asked me, it was one of our small group nights. She said, can we change the way we do things tonight? She said, instead of having a small group, she said, could I just pray over this house? And I said, of course. She came in. She had a blessed oil. And she went around. She touched every window and every door. And she said, repeat after me. And so I did repeat after her. And she just, you know, she opened the door and she was like, you know, devil, you cannot have this house. And she just went in, and she prayed over this entire family. I have to say a lot of changes have been made, but she is awesome. She will. She's here every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, the small group. And she pray, and then she go, you know, she starts speaking in tongues. And you just never, I never could imagine, you know, Juanita. Her name is Juanita. Being such a strong prayer warrior. You know, I used to see her all the time. But we've gotten close in the last, like, 3 years since we've been having small group. And I tell you, she will pray you under the table. Mm-hmm. I remember Raymond Smith came over one time, and she said, please don't tell Juanita I'm here. He said, because that woman, he said, she had prayed one more time. I said, but Raymond, it's been a tremendous help to this family. Because sometimes your neighbor know more about your business than anybody because they see and hear everything. So I'm grateful for Juanita today.
And then that's a great report to have about a neighbor who is not just kind, but can pray you through some things. And it's amazing that you were in a position to be able to receive that. Some people will reject prayer, you know, but thankfully you understand the power of prayer and you respect it. And you understand the value and importance in your life. That's a blessing. anybody have neighbors that are the opposite of Ruth? Like they have parties, their music is every weekend they got a party, their music is blasting, or they're just loud. I don't want to use the term ghetto, but you know they're just loud. They're like the proverb scripture that I quoted, or that I didn't quote, but that Kapisha quoted. Greeting a neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning will be viewed as a curse, Proverbs 27:14. But doing it late at night can also be seen, can be viewed as a curse as well. Anybody have a neighbor like that, or is anybody brave enough to admit that they were that neighbor?
Good morning, Tanya. It's Ms. D. I have a neighbor like that.
Hey, Ms. D.
God bless us both. God bless us both. I have lived in an apartment in over 30 years, so I have a lot of adjusting to do. But this lady slams doors so hard, my pictures cry. And poor pictures on the walls just shudder. She parks in between the apartment complex where there's no driveways with the music blaring and sits there. You know, I have spoken to her, so I have knocked on the walls and knocked on the doors, and I decided that I have some adjusting to do. I need to display Christ, even if she doesn't know who he is. I need to be doing that because otherwise I'll fall right in suit behind her, and we would yell, argue, and fuss with each other all the time. So it's been a real challenge for me because it happens like all day long, all day, every day, all day, every day. And so what I do now when she slams that door so hard, I just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for having a door. You know, bam, door, thank you, Jesus, for having a place to sleep. Bam. But God is really teaching me how to be humble. I speak to her when I see her. I've even asked her, you know, is it really that loud from my house to your house? And I let her know that I hear everything you do up here, too. So, you know, we can work together at being considerate one to the other. But it seems that she doesn't see it that way, that I'm really disrupting her life. But to God be the glory, I just keep saying thank you, Jesus, and straighten my pictures back up on the wall and going in the bedroom and closing the door when the car comes up between the buildings.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious, Miss D. I can just see you. I can just see you mumbling under your breath, the blood of Jesus, but I'm going to straighten these pictures out. What's wrong with you? Can't you say it? You know, but here's something that I want to add to you. I want to share with you. I don't know if you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Let me tell you what I might do in that situation, even though, and take it as a suggestion, and look and see if there is a crazy copper shed herself. What she's talking about? Really, for real? Okay. All right. So copper shed was saying that she had a neighbor like that before. And she tried to, why don't you just say it? You tripping. Okay, all right. So she had a neighbor like that before. And what she did is that she went over and she tried to reason with the neighbor. And the neighbor got, it was just a spirit of rebellion. She got louder. And she was at her wit's end. And what? Hold on, you guys. You can actually say it yourself. I'm not your interpreter. Okay, we're on live. We're recording. Okay. All right. So she don't want to talk no more. Anyway, so what she did was she got some blessed oil, and the wall where her pictures would shake, rattle, and roll, she anointed that wall, and discreetly she went down to where the neighbor's car was, walked by it lightly, put some blessed oil on the car, the door handle, knowing that the neighbor would have to touch that door specifically. Went over to where the neighbor was, you know, played it off by ringing the doorbell, lightly touched the doorbell and the doorknob, and began to pray for that woman. Now, believe it or not, it got even worse. But all of a sudden, she started to calm down. Now, it didn't go away completely, but it did. She did start to tone it down some.
I have done all that, and I still continue to do it. I go around the whole building. I've been doing that. I do that everywhere I live. But I go around the whole building with porches, handrails, parking areas, cars, you know, actually touching a shoulder with her and her husband. And all of a sudden doesn't mean, like, all of a sudden I got my part to do. So, you know, to God be the glory again. I continue to do that, and I've been doing it since I've been here, and that's been since June. But to God be the glory, I feel the carpets, the floors, because my floor touches her ceiling, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down on the floor praying. But to God be the glory, when the change comes, the change will come. But I also have to do my part. You know, like that's my part, the praying, the being considerate, that long-suffering part where I'm not getting angry and reacting based on their behaviors. So tell Miss Capricia, yes, DeWanda is trying that on this side, and I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord until my change comes. Amen.
I'm loving it, Dee. I love it. Amen. Anybody else have a neighbor like that or who used to be that? Actually, I would like to hear from somebody. This is a judgment-free zone. This is a judge-free zone. If you used to be that neighbor, what was going on in your mind? Maybe you could share some of that so we could get it. And I know everybody is different, but maybe you were that neighbor and you might share some insight on your thoughts and your thinking. Yes, BD.
Good morning, beautiful. I wasn't going to say anything because I'm sipping my coffee, but I had a neighbor. Well, I grew up, and there was a lady that lived next door to us, and she was the cat lady, the dog lady. Her house is like you described. Her weeds were up to her window, and she was mean. She'd go out every morning, and, you know, my mom's out watching. She was never speaking friendly, but kind of what you did, well, the Capricia did to her neighbor. My mom just kind of started waving at her. Sometimes she'd wave back. Sometimes she wouldn't. Sometimes she'd just grumble. But we saw an ambulance at her house. So because of the ambulance, I went over there. Mike said we were being nosy to find out she was a lady that lived by herself, didn't have any children or anything, and she really was sick. So that opened up the door that we became like her caregiver. And we started watching her and going grocery shopping for her and got her yard and stuff done. So sometimes you don't know what your neighbors are going through, you know, because they may present themselves to be unfriendly, but there could be pain in this instance, illness or whatever. And for 10 years after that incident, we became her family until she passed away. So that just, your declaration just reminded me of that. And the world is so cold now. We live in neighborhoods that you might not even know the neighbor lives right next door to you. So sometimes you have to take time out to speak because you do want to know who's around you. You do, because it is a spiritual warfare. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to speak to my neighbors right across the way that I wave at, but I'm actually say hi and introduce myself on today. Thank you, sister.
Awesome. Anybody else before I move on to another question? I'm still looking for the person who used to be that loud, rowdy neighbor that might want to
Good morning, Tanya. This is Tanisha.
Good morning.
When I was younger, used to be that neighbor to some degree. I would have my music on a lot because I've always used my music to feed my soul, and I use it as a distraction when I'm having excessive pain. So at this time in my life, I was young and single and had just moved out on my own. I didn't necessarily keep up a bunch of noise and have traffic in and out of my house because I'm not that type of person. But I like my music and all types in terms of all genres. And I like a good system, and I like it loud. The thing that was beneficial for me is that the complex that I lived in at that time, I actually still live in the same place, just in a bigger unit. At that time, the 2, 4, 6 units, all but one of the tenants were also young, single women like myself. So it actually, instead of it being a nuisance to my neighbors, was like a party that I would get started for all of us to partake in. So my music would be on, and we would stand outside and chit-chat and watch the kids of some of the other neighbors of ours that had children who would be playing outside. We would take turns cooking, because most of us were new to living on our own and were used to coming from a home where we were cooking dinner for 5 or 6 people, and it was hard to shake that habit when we first moved out, and it was only one person to feed. So we would rotate cooking dinner and so on and so forth. And because we're all single and young and working, I think that versus it being a scenario where it bothered us that our music would be loud, usually it was just me and one of the other young ladies, but sometime a third would join in. It ironically, though, wasn't a nuisance. It wasn't something that disturbed the other neighbors, and it was something that brought us closer together, ironically. It's definitely not something that I would do in the same way now because I'm older, and it's not something that I necessarily want to tolerate. And I have a neighbor who slams their door so hard, and they're in and out of their home at all hours of the night, but they slam their door so hard that you would think that it was my door that someone had come in and out of. So it's interesting. The questions you asked have had me pondering that I've been on both sides, and I hadn't really considered that before. But fortunately, in the neighbors category, I've been really, really fortunate because the people who live in the neighborhood that I grew up in, for the most part, are still there, and their neighbors who have really enriched my life for the duration of my life. And I know everybody is not as blessed to have that experience. So I'm happy that I was able to be nurtured by my elders and my community on the south side of Richmond, and I'm fortunate that I can be a person who's watching over the children here in Pinole now where I reside, and give them somebody that they can look up to and lean on, even if I do play my music still occasionally a little bit.
That's all right, huh? Thank you. Thank you for that. That was a great share. So I want to shift the conversation now towards us and things as the hour is growing late. I want to shift the conversation towards us. You know, there are times when, from all appearances externally, things look like they're okay, especially in the case of Amaretta and Roy. You know, their house is together. You know, they're always doing something that, like, there's not a weed in sight. Somebody is always over there doing something, or she's always outside in the yard. It used to be both of them until he got sick, but nobody would have known had I not gone over there to ask, because I hadn't seen him outside in a while, or had Kapisha not gone over there to ask, she would not have known that the neighbor was terminally ill. So what are some things that we can do, put into practice? Like, this might be like some of you might be feeling like deers in headlights right now, like you don't know your neighbors, whether you're in an apartment complex, detached, or attached housing. you might not even know where to start with building a rapport with your neighbors or becoming neighborly. Can someone offer some suggestions as what you can do, as to what you could do to show you, to become a good neighbor?
Can I share something that one of my neighbors used to do when my daughter was a toddler, just old enough to, like, play outside and interact with the other kids? And it really made me, and I'm sure her at the time, though she couldn't communicate it, feel welcomed. On her payday, she would host a kid's party. She would stop and grab a few pizzas, like the take and bake kind, and stop at the dollar store and get all kind of zoos and wham-whams. And she would come home and let everybody know the party's going to start in 20 minutes or whatever the case would be. She would put blankets out on the grass in front of the stretch where our buildings are, and all of the kids in the complex could come and share and play games or partake in watching a movie on a small DVD player. And I thought that that was the coolest thing, because it gave the kids that lived in the top of the complex or the rear of the complex an opportunity to get together and interact with the ones that lived in the center right here where we are, which typically they didn't get a chance to, when playing, interact with each other because their parents wouldn't let them go out of their sight. But because she was hosting this fun time for them, the kids were allowed to, because it was supervised, come further out than their norm and interact with each other. And it started some friendships that my daughter's 10 now that she still has and that I see her having for the rest of her life. And we do an adult version of that, but from a walking standpoint, we do exercises every third Thursday, I believe it is, of the month, to give the adults an opportunity to come together and get to know each other. And then on the alternate, we do breakfast here at our community center at the complex. And it just really has opened up an opportunity for me to be able to get a chance to see neighbors that I otherwise wouldn't be able to interact with, because it's 145 units, so it's a pretty big complex. And it's given me resources that I didn't even know that I had, people whose children go to the same school that my daughters go to. And because we get to link up at these events, they may say, if you ever need a ride, let me know. And if we weren't doing these things, we otherwise wouldn't really get a chance to cross paths.
That's some good stuff. You've been really blessed. You are probably an exception.
We love where we are.
That's right. Thank you again, Tanisha. Anybody else have it? How about any of the men? It's probably different for women, the way that we might interact, but is there a man that has something to share about what would you do to show yourself neighborly? What would you do to begin to, to show yourself as to be a good neighbor?
I have something. Me, for myself, I'm a very observant person. So being a very observant person, I like to know who my neighbors is anyway. So, for me, anytime I see a neighbor outside the house, I speak, go over there, talk, hey, how you doing, what's up, you know what I mean? But I'm in the cars. So the fact that I'm in the cars, it kind of helps when your neighbor have one of them type of cars. So, go over there and just speak to them. I mean, that's the easiest thing I can say. Don't be a stranger. And then for me, by doing things like that, I've had my neighbors stop people from breaking into my car. Me, myself, I've stopped people from breaking into my neighbor's house. And it's just because, being observing, a watchdog, I would say, for the lack of a better word. It's just, you know, for me, it's I want to know my neighbors, and I want to know my neighbors, and I want them to know me. So if there's anything happen, you know what I mean, I know I have my neighbor to the left that's, you know, making sure everything going cool. Same thing on the right. I have two kids myself. And this particular house that I'm talking about, I stayed on the corner. And then a friend of mine stayed next door. And then across the street, he was like the neighborhood handyman. So, you know, we would all kind of like intermingle. And then from us intermingling, I found out who the neighbor was two doors away. I actually coached his son. Didn't even know he was my neighbor. Then across the street, it was the same way. So then every year they have this thing, I'm pretty sure everybody knows, the block parties, to where they, you know, have the little block parties or whatever. And from the block parties, I began to learn a neighbor across the street, catacorner from me, then the neighbor next door. And, you know, we all have kids. So because we all have kids, kids make it a little easier for you to get to know your neighbors. I know for me, as a kid, my mom wouldn't let me go to nobody's house if she didn't get a chance to meet who their parents were. You know what I mean? So for me, I do the same thing for my kids. At the kids at the school, you know, the kids in the neighborhood, like, hey, he can come over here, but I want to know, you know, I want to meet his mom. I want to meet his dad so I can know where he come from or, you know what I'm getting into, for lack of a better way to explain it. Like, I want to know because, to me, I feel like you have to know who around your kids, because if you don't know who around your kids, that's when all this other type of stuff start happening, like people being pedophiles or, you know what I mean, some of these kids that's not being brought up correctly. When you don't know who the parents of the kids are, it makes it difficult, I think, for you to understand the child, theyself. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a coach. So being a coach, I have to get to know people, and I have to, there's a certain way, you know, everybody not the same, everybody haven't been raised the same, everybody don't have the same morals and values, but as for me, there's certain stuff that I can't have no kids around me if they're going to be back-talking. You know what I mean? Disrespectful, rude, that goes for me or your parents. And a lot of the time it helps for me. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Art. Thank you. That's some great insight, and it reminds me of something else. But before I talk about that, I want to give, is there anybody else who wanted to speak? I grew up under the same type of training, which was, that, go ahead and put your phone on mute if you're not talking. My mother would not allow me to go to somebody else's house if she had not met or at least and spoken with the parents. And I did the same thing to my children. Does that still happen today? Because I'm like completely out of the loop. For those of you who have parents, somebody who hasn't spoken perhaps yet, is that kind of the norm still today? Do you allow your children to go over somebody's house and you don't know who the people are? You haven't. I don't care whether they're in the church or what. I mean, you might see them at church, but. Like, have you had a conversation with them? You know what they're about. Have you observed them? I mean, is that
I think
still...
I think it's a little worse now than it was when I was coming up, or the way that it impacted you or I. Oftentimes, it just dawned on me actually last year when my daughter's friend, she lives in the complex, was having a sleepover for her birthday, and I felt a little weird about it. My daughter spends the night, but typically with family, not with friends. But because we live in the same place, I kind of know the parent, and I allowed her to go, and I was saddened because it dawned on me that was her first sleepover, and for her to have been almost 10 and was just about to experience her first sleepover. Now, family didn't typically allow me to go to other folks' houses, but that was based on my health issues, and all my friends wanted to come to my house anyway because my grandmother kept the snacks and goodies and everything. So it wasn't like I missed the opportunity to have sleepovers and interact with young girls and stuff. And so unfortunately, because everything that is going on in the world, people, from what I experience, oftentimes don't allow their kids to do a lot of interacting with other kids, especially when you're talking about spending a night at their home or things of that sort. I see parents oftentimes will feel better leaving their child at home alone versus reaching out to a neighbor or one of their children's friends whose parent may be available to watch or give some supervision, because we're so fearful, because there is so much that goes on in this day and age.
Right. Thank you, Tanisha, once again. Let's talk about being a neighbor at church. Girl, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm talking about being a neighbor at church. How do we become neighbors at church? Is it necessary?
Hello, Tanya. This is Brother Eric.
Hey.
I believe it's absolutely necessary. Wonderful declaration. Now I'm at a small church, but this is something that's probably been honed into me because I've traveled so much within, before I came to California. So I was always found myself in a different church. But even when I was younger, I've always been pressured to get up in the front and to be friendly. So it's a habit that I've acquired. And most churches usually give you an opportunity. They usually have a point in the service where you can get up and you can go and talk. And so I usually use that opportunity. And usually, because I open up the church, I may see the people when they first come in. But it's usually during that what we call pass the peace or whatever church that you have that I usually try to go to the person I least know, or the person whose name I don't know, or the person I don't know that's a visitor, because we don't really have a per se greeter in the church. And so as one of our leaders and representative. I try to make that my business. Even if it's not during that time, before the person leaves that door or on their way out, I will try to, make them feel welcome, get their names, and, ask where they're at, and try to invite them on over again, Mm-hmm. And sometimes, in our churches, we have those people you might see every day. I mean, every worship who may not, be forthcoming, who just gets there and sits quietly and goes home and nobody really kind of knows them. And I try to make it my business to try to look out for those also. So, yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's extremely important.
Absolutely excellent. Those are some great points, Eric. Thank you for sharing. Is there anybody else that would like to add to that? Okay. How about the person? How about considering? You come to church on a regular basis, and perhaps you are you may or may not be in a leadership position. What I found is, and this is because there's a culture, there's a atmosphere that's created at a church, and some churches are super, super friendly. They will make you feel welcomed when you come in. There are other churches that put on the airs of being welcoming, but they're not, because you get the shade as soon as you come in. From a mother or another member looking you from. I'll never forget. I went to a church towards the end of the year, small church, and when I walked in, kind of sat towards the back. Usually, that's what your guests and visitors will do. They generally will sit towards the back. And they had a greeting time, you know, where they wanted to greet people that were there. Clearly, me and the other person I was with, we were guests, clearly, right? And ironically, I wasn't prepared to come to church Sunday. I was there. I was in this other city helping a friend. I wasn't there, but I ended up staying a little bit longer to help her out with some stuff. And, you know, you can tell when someone is genuine. You can tell when the hug is genuine. You can tell when it's kind of, it's not most of the time. And I'll never forget this lady. She was well-dressed, you know, from pretty much from head to toe. I just glancing at her, you could tell that she, you know, I didn't do the head, I didn't do the toe, the head back down to the toe look, but just, you know, she struck me. She was attractive. And I'll never forget when our eyes met, she stopped, looked me head to toe, back to head. Now, granted, I had on jeans and I had on some jewelry and a shirt, but I was not dressed for church because I wasn't prepared to be at church. But I came as I was because that's what you're supposed to be able to do. Just like, and I was like, and then she reached out to try to hug me. I was like, you're so fake. I wanted, you know, I wanted to try to get away from me. But I didn't. You know, I received her. And she went back to her seat, and when she sat down, I said, oh, you ain't all that together. You got a bad weave. To myself, I didn't say it out loud to anybody because you got synthetic weave. You should have invested a little bit more money in your weave. I know somebody that can hook you up. Anyway, whatever. We have to be mindful, I think, that when we're at church, that especially if you've been a member for, this is just a suggestion, if you've been a member for a church for a while, rather than you greeting the same people every Sunday and having conversations with them, there are, I don't know, 40-something, 50-something people on the call, we could make it our business. We could change, we could be the change that we are looking for. We as individuals, this is something that we can do, and we don't need to have a position or a title to do it. If you have a guest that comes to your church, you could greet them. Like I did my neighbor, Myrna. Kakasha did her neighbor, Myrna. Hi, my name is an exchange name. Some churches even go out of the way and they give people name tags. So you can greet the person by saying, hey, Jan, I'm so-and-so. It's nice to meet you. Welcome. Who did you come here with or whatever? And just engage in conversation. Now, you don't need to get their life history and exchange, you know, unless the Lord leads you to get their number and all that kind of stuff, but you can definitely make them feel welcome just for a few minutes so that you can move on to the next guest and or so that you can allow somebody else to come up and greet them, right? Because if you find that the person is an accountant and you know somebody else in the church that's an accountant, oh, my God, I know somebody who does what you do. Do you mind if I introduce you, right, to make the person feel a little bit more comfortable about being there? Because it can be can anybody attest to this? Going to a church for the first time, I don't, maybe it's just me. Have you ever felt intimidated going? You didn't know anybody, or maybe you knew just the person that invited you. You didn't really know the culture there or whatever. Anybody ever felt intimidated going to a new church other than me? Okay, you don't have to answer. I'm pretty sure there is because it's like 7:57. But this will help a lot. Oh, yeah.
This is Barbara. I went to church, I think I was down in Southern California somewhere. And a long time ago when Pastor first said, you know, he wanted to have up the screens and to put the words on the, you know, screen and all that kind of stuff, I didn't understand that because I wasn't, you know, brought up like that. But once I went to this other church, I understood why now it's necessary. Because, girl, they were singing a song I had never heard. And I couldn't join them. And I felt really bad. And so ever since then, I understand why we put our words up there. Because it helps the people that don't know the song to sing it if they want to. Because I felt that's the first church I'd gone to that I just really felt out of place. I didn't know the song.
Yeah, it happens. It absolutely happens.
Tanya, I've been intimidated too. I remember when I first moved down south, and
you know, for a while, you know, I had been attending this Presbyterian church. So I had been kind of far removed from my Pentecostal roots. And even in Pentecostal, there's something about Northeast Pentecostal. And we get down now. But there's something about that Southern Pentecostal, boy, they go full out. And I hadn't been in that environment for a while. And I remember walking in, man, the first day, Jesus! And everybody was dancing and everything. I was like, whoa. You know, I was really, it was kind of like an onslaught. And it was like about a four-hour onslaught. But, you know, I got back into it. But, yeah, I felt kind of intimidated. So, yeah, it can happen, especially if you go to a church that you're not really used to that type of atmosphere. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Hey, Tan.
Go ahead, Didi.
Real quick, I was just going to say, yeah, I've been to, and I really, you know, I mean, I'm too real sometimes for myself, but going to a real unfriendly church has happened where you're greeted by some old grumpy people, and this is no shade, it is what it is. I wasn't felt welcome at all. And then especially when you go to a church, I guess, that's established and you got certain seats assigned. So being a visitor, you bet not sit in Sister So-and-so's seat, but I'm new, so I don't know that that's Sister Johnson's seat. So I've made it a point to be friendly. I don't care if I don't know you. If you come to my church, I'm a greeter, but that's not the reason. But because I know that feeling, I know how it feels to go to a church and you're not welcome. But people that go to church are hurting. So sometimes the people that are going on a regular basis aren't friendly because they are fighting and they're hurting. But I'm just making a more conscious effort to be more receptive of those that are coming in because they're coming in hurt. And I really have to shout out PFBC because I have not come one time and I was felt like I was made to feel like a stranger. So that's some good loving right there. If y'all just need to go get loved on for real, go on over to PFBC because they greet you. And they give you a name tag. My name tag has fallen off, though. I don't know why my name tag fell off, but yeah. So it makes a difference to feel welcome right at the door as you enter in, the, you know, you felt like you're a part of it. So that's it. I just wanted to say that. Come on out to PFBC and Revival and any other
PFBC.
Church.
Amen. Listen, you guys, I'm going to have to run. This has been a great dialogue. Thank you for those who participated. Have a great day today and do something to show yourself friendly. Talk to a neighbor. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the neighbor next door, the neighbor across the street. It could be the neighbor that shows up at the Starbucks or the Peet's or the grocery store that you go to. You can just start a friendly conversation. Compliment them. Oh, my God, I love that jacket that you have on. Or I love those boots. Where did you get them from? Or whatever guys do. Hey, man, that's a nice car. How do you get your rims? I don't know what you guys do. But I love all of you. I've got to go and get my day started. Have a wonderful day today. Live on purpose today, you guys. Love y'all. Bye.
Men's call tonight, 6 p.m. East West Coast time. Men's call tonight, 6 p.m. West Coast time.
8:02. Okay, good. Let me see the sweatshirt you got. Nice. Yeah, it's nice. Why is it wet? What if I didn't like it? I'll check it back. You know, I don't like it.
Five, two.
Well, that's all that counts.